What if I told you that Jesus prayed a prayer that has still not been answered? Coming up on Cross Connection. Welcome to Cross Connection. We are so glad you have joined us today. And Sergio, a great study is ahead of us.
We have a great group, a great study. We're excited, and we're excited because you're going to join us as well. And today's study is all about glory. Jesus asked that the Father would glorify him so that he could glorify the Father. And then he said, the glory you've given me, I've given them. So there's glory all over the place. And that's the subject of today's question. How do we glorify God? Remember, you can get connected with us through Facebook, Twitter, email, text, however you can think of getting connected with us. We're just looking forward to hearing from you.
Absolutely. And we are joined today by John, Louise, and Jillian. Okay, are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
Okay, this is the first time for John, and we've been calling him many times. So luckily, he's here with us now. Yeah. Thank you very much, Jillian, for being with us. And I know that you've been traveling for a long time, and now we're here with
us. For you, all the way from Madagascar.
Okay, thank you very much for joining us. And we are glad that you're joining us wherever you are. So thanks for being a part of this great study that is ahead of us. And before we open our Bible, let's pray. And Louise, could you lead us in prayer?
Sure. Let's bow our head. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for this opportunity, a privilege to be able to study your word. And Father, we ask that your spirit be with us and guide us every step of the way. We look forward to what you have to reveal to us this night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Cross Connection is all about the context. In fact, there is an expression that Sergio and I like, and you probably will like it as well. A text without a context is just a pretext to what we want it to mean.
That's
Sergio,
right.
Explain.
Excuse me?
You said it. What you just said is a text without a context is a pretext to what we want it to mean. Basically, if we start picking things out of context, mm-hmm. we can twist it to whatever we want it to mean. But the context reveals the meaning.
So we don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. Because when we open the Bible, and today we will be studying John chapter, and you can help me.
17.
Thank you very much. Yeah, so we will be studying John chapter 17. We need to remember that it has a context. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just written just John chapter 17. In fact, that chapter is called the prayer of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Some people call it the high priestly prayer of Jesus. But it's a part of a larger context that starts actually in John chapter 13, John chapter 13, verse 38 or 36, where Jesus predicts Peter's denial. He predicts that he will be denied. Mm-hmm. And then it's one sermon. So John chapter 13, verse 36 to John chapter 17, verse 26, it's just one sermon that ends with this prayer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but this is very interesting now. Most of the time, Christians think about this prayer as the prayer of Jesus that happened in the garden of where?
Gethsemane.
Do you think so? Do you think so?
I don't know.
You don't know?
That this is what he prayed in the garden?
Do you think he prayed this prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane? Let's take a look at John chapter 18. And Sergio, John chapter 18, verse 1. What does it say in your Bible?
It says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Mm.
So where did Jesus enter the garden? When did Jesus enter the garden?
After this prayer that we're about to study.
After this sermon that he's given, he entered the garden. So let's get into the word. We are placing ourselves into the context. We are in Jerusalem. Mm. We are still in Jerusalem. And only next week, you definitely want to join us when we will enter this garden, mysterious garden of Gethsemane. You will see it on our screen as well. So you don't want to miss our next Cross Connection just because you want to see what happened at the backdrop. Not only because of that, I hope. But anyway, so this in John chapter 17, we read this prayer. That prayer is, let me just ask you a question. Do you remember any prayers or any prayer of Jesus recorded in the Bible?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which ones, Louise?
Oh, definitely the prayer in Gethsemane.
Okay.
Briefly mentioning.
So what was it? What was that prayer? Just remind us. What like?
Oh, this was just you got to see his humanity just go out there because all that sin, all of us, all of it was being rested upon him, and you can tell, you know, if if he's not meant to take this, then, mm-hmm. you know, he doesn't want to. Mm-hmm. However, thy will be done. May God's mm-hmm. will be done.
Okay. So Jesus prayed in Gethsemane. What are other prayers that you remember from the scripture? But that is a very short prayer, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is short.
One verse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Lord's Prayer?
The Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Where his disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray.
But is it the prayer that Jesus prayed? Or is it the prayer that Jesus taught how to pray?
Jesus taught how to pray.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that also praying?
Maybe that is a prayer, but we don't necessarily know whether he prayed the same prayer or not, because right. he said, probably he did. Mm-hmm. Probably he did. Mm-hmm. Do you remember any other prayers?
He prayed on the cross.
Okay. Yeah, there is another prayer in Matthew chapter 11 where Jesus prayed. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 11 for a few seconds, where he prayed about the peace. Matthew chapter 11. This is a very comforting passage, in fact. Mm-hmm. We always think about it not as a prayer, but he is actually praying about John chapter 11, verses 25 and all the way to verse 30. But we will not read everything. Mm-hmm. Where Jesus prays, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This is also the prayer of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So it's another prayer. But one of the most important prayers and the largest prayers, mm-hmm. the most important prayers probably, mm-hmm. is Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, this prayer is called very often as the high priestly prayer. Have you heard about it?
Yeah.
You have? Mm-hmm. What does it mean?
Well, I mean, he's praying on behalf of his children, his mm-hmm. disciples, and in turn, really, for each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. And so he is on behalf of us praying, mm-hmm. and he is our mediator, our priest.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is very good. So it's a high priestly prayer. Mm-hmm. This is a very interesting point. But it's very also interesting because only in 1600s, which is in 17th century, mm-hmm. people started thinking about it as a high priestly prayer. Mm-hmm. They never even came to this conclusion before the 17th century.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But this is fascinating because in the Old Testament, we find lots of prayers were actually the patriarchal prayers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Such as, for instance, if we jump to Deuteronomy chapter 32 for just a few seconds, in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and 33, and help me, if you get there first, help me, who is praying there?
Moses.
This is very interesting. Why Moses? Because, so this is the prayer of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and then 33. And how is what is the beginning of Deuteronomy chapter 34? So this is the prayer of Moses, and then how
Moses does it start? Death.
What?
His death. Then his Moses
death.
Went up.
Mm. Yeah. His death. What will happen to Jesus in the next chapter?
He dies.
He will be crucified. Mm. If this is not the end. What was the festival?
Just wait.
The festival that was just about to start the next day in the Gospel according to John.
The Passover,
when Jesus prays, is the festival of the Passover. What was the purpose of the Passover? To commemorate? Help me.
The Exodus. Yeah.
The entrance into the promised land. Mm-hmm. And now Jesus prays, oh, I'm just like Moses. Mm-hmm. I'm just about to die. Mm-hmm. But trust me, there will be another one who will lead you into the eternal life. Mm-hmm. And this is what we will find out right here, eternal life. Okay, let's talk eternal life in verse 2. And you don't want to miss it, because next segment will be about that. But stay with us. We are not going into break even yet. The structure of this Lord's Prayer. Just tell me, what is the structure of this prayer? Not the Lord's Prayer, but this prayer in John chapter 17.
You have Jesus praying for himself.
Okay, Jesus mm-hmm. is praying for himself. One. Okay, what else?
Then he prays for his disciples.
Mm-hmm. He prays for his disciples. Then what?
Then he prays for all
Unity.
Believers.
Yeah.
He prays for all believers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What can we? Okay. What do you think about that?
It's unusual. You know, I would think so at least. If someone went up in church, and the first thing out of their mouth was they started praying for themselves, mm-hmm. I'd be like, this guy's a little selfish. Yeah. What was he praying for himself for? But that's what Jesus did. So I think it kind of then raises the question, like, what about the structure of this prayer kind of makes us re-examine, you know, what prayer is all about, look at what prayer is all about. So
I think what I took from this one was that given that he's going into the garden and we see his great turmoil there, when Jesus prays for himself, I see that as him getting himself in tune with God, getting mm-hmm. right with God. When I was at church in college, our head deaconess stood up and it was communion. And she said, you know what? I am in no position to offer communion because I myself am not right with God. And that's the situation in which I think having that personal prayer would be appropriate. Mm. He's saying, you know, Father, be with me before he feels ready to pray for everybody else.
Mm. Yeah.
I think it, I think it adds on a lot of, this structure tells us a lot about priority. You know, I think like a pastor, he comes out and automatically you think being a pastor is about reaching out to people, reaching out to believers and so forth. But actually it starts with him and then his family and then to the believers. You know, that's what I'm
thinking. This is so important. Yeah. That reminds me about flying in the planes. Remember, they always say, when these things just...
Secure your oxygen mask before helping others.
What do you need to do?
Help yourself before you help others.
Yeah, this is it. Or when somebody is drowning or something is happening, you need to have your jacket on first and then to save, and then you save another person.
I think that's what it is. It's connection to the Father. Because Jesus obviously wouldn't need to get right with God because he was without fault. But he says even he... all authority has been given to him by his Father. He can do nothing without his Father, and we're the same way. Like, before we start praying for other people, before we start trying to bear fruits and worrying about our family and the world, we got to make sure God is in us so that then his light can shine to everyone we come in contact with.
This is so important. This is great. But let's take a look at how Jesus' prayer starts. Okay, starts. Okay, and John, read for us, please, John chapter 17, verse 1.
Okay. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you.
Okay, this is excellent. So tell me about it. What are the first words that Jesus talks about? What is he talking about? What is the most interesting?
The hour has come.
The hour has come. Very good point. And what about the
you said first.
Okay, but what about next, the following ones?
Glorify your Son.
Glorify your Son. So what is that glory that Jesus is talking about?
Well, it's like you said, didn't we just talk that he's just about to die? This is right before his death. You alluded to Moses. He's just about to die, and that's the glory apparently that he's talking about.
And he's asking for the honor and the splendor of who God is to glorify him so that others can clearly see. It's not just about that selfishness of, oh, no, the prayer's just about me. No, but God through manifest yourself through me so that they know that I'm an evidence of who you are.
This is excellent. This is exactly what our hidden treasure is about. Are you excited to see the hidden treasure?
Yeah.
I am. So let's check it out. There are many ways to get glory in this world. Awards, money, positions of honor or status. But for today's hidden treasure, we will take a look at a different kind of glory, the glory of God. Our first look at the glory of God came in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, they became disconnected from him. But God so deeply wanted to reconnect with them that he came down and started looking for them in the garden. God lowered himself for the sake of Adam and Eve. Centuries later, God was still trying to connect with people, so he revealed himself to Moses. But not in a big tree or up in the clouds, but in a lowly, burning bush. He did this to associate himself with the lowliest of all, the slaves in Egypt. But that wasn't enough for God, so he decided to always be with his people in the tabernacle. In fact, the book of Exodus ends with the statement, "The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." God would do anything to be with his people, even traveling around in a tent with recently freed slaves. But that still wasn't enough for God. In John chapter 1, verse 14, we read, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." It wasn't enough for God to just be with his people. He wanted to connect with us by lowering himself to the point of actually becoming one of us. This is simply mind-boggling. But that's still not the end. When he was in Gethsemane, hours before he would be crucified, Jesus said, "And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." The full glory of God is revealed on the cross. God lowered himself to the point of death, all because he wants to connect with you. But the glory of God goes one step further. In the same prayer in Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one." Throughout history, God has revealed His glory by lowering Himself to lift us up. He did this to connect with us, and He wants us to connect with each other. We can do this by doing what He did, lowering ourselves to lift each other up. And then the glory of God will fill the whole world. And that's today's Hidden Treasure. So the question that raises in my head is, what is the difference between the glory that this world dreams about and the glory that Jesus is talking about?
Well, I mean, you highlight it right there in the video. I mean, you show throughout history we see God lowers himself in order to lift us up. And it's completely counter to what we think. I need a better job. I need a better title. I need a better position. I need to make more money. And it's all about lifting myself up. And God says, don't do that. Not because I command you to from my throne, but no, because He lowered Himself first and says, hey, join me down here. It's better down here. Let's lift people up instead of just trying to lift yourself up.
Hey, you know, that speaks to me a lot, especially in the Asian culture. I'm sorry if I...
No problem.
That's right.
And I believe some people also can resonate with you who are watching us.
That's right. You know, I grew up in Asian culture, and there's always this emphasis. There's an extra push on the Asian culture, is that this emphasis that you need a higher job, you need a higher paying job, you need to be a doctor, you need to be a lawyer, you need to gain this reputation. It's you being higher. Mm. But Jesus does something so radical, you know, even all the religions across the world, you scatter it on the table. Mm-hmm. And it's all about everybody achieving kingship, achieving this, achieving that. Mm-hmm. But when Jesus died, when He says what true glory is, He expresses it in a whole nother way.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is so excellent, because in fact, He also talks about eternal life, because so many Christians today, they're talking about eternal life. Oh, something great is ahead of me.
Yeah.
Let's get by this world today, because something great is ahead of me. But what Jesus offers today, right now, is revolutionary as well. You don't want to miss it, because right after the break, we will touch on that very issue.
That's right. And before we toss to break, I just want to remind you to get connected with us and discuss today's question, how do we glorify God?
Welcome back to Cross Connection. We don't have any time to waste, so let's jump into this question. What is that eternal life that Jesus wants to give now?
Yeah. He is eternal life. In John 17:3, and I love it because it's straightforward, and I don't have to read so many other things. It says, this is eternal life, that you may know you. And so it's to know God, it's to know Jesus. Mm-hmm. Mm. And it's not just just for the disciples at the time, but I think you had pointed out it's like for yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And so it's there's really no time constraint with that.
Mm-hmm. So often we think about eternal life that is something that will happen to us in the future and forget about the present reality.
Yeah.
But Jesus here says something different, isn't He? He says, no, I want you to experience this eternal life.
No, we think about it so much. Like, we have just a little longer. We got to get through this hard. And of course, this world is hard. Everyone knows it. Anyone who's lived any amount of time knows that. Mm-hmm. But Jesus says there's a present reality you can have right now. And then you see why the prayer of praying for yourself is so important. Because first things first, you pray to know God. Mm-hmm. And then in knowing God, you have eternal life right now. Mm-hmm. Just in the knowing of Him, in Him living in you, you have eternal life. Mm-hmm. And see why it's so important to pray to Him for yourself first. Mm-hmm.
There is a paradox that they say, it's a theological term probably. It sounds as already, but not yet. Mm-hmm. Already. Mm-hmm. It's about the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. The kingdom of God is already. Mm-hmm. Present on earth, because Jesus promised that you will experience this freedom, you will experience the kingdom of God here on earth when you will be in union with me, but not yet, because He also promised, but I will come back and I will make everything will be put into right perspective again.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I don't feel like I really deserve that. Mm. You know, it's like I can't believe that's what God's offering at the table. I think of all the various different things that goes through my mind and how many things I can do so much better. Mm-hmm. But how it's just he has so much more ready for me.
Yeah.
So
excellent.
I'm encouraged.
The best is yet to come.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, you know what I was thinking? we're bringing this into perspective, and it's all about knowing Jesus. Mm. Yes. What does that tell us about heaven? Mm. You know, that heaven is not actually a place, but to be with a person. Mm. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's totally deep, right? And that it's, and we automatically think heaven. I'm gonna ride those clouds. I'm gonna ride that lion and so forth. And surf those, you know, yeah, walking the streets of gold. But it's actually spending time with Jesus, yes, and getting to know Him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is so profound, yeah, because if you think about it for a second. Why do I want to get married? Just because I will move in to this house with my spouse? Do I think about the house?
No.
I do not.
The relationship.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about, I want to spend every minute of my life with this person, no matter where we live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can live in a tent. I will enjoy the tent as well. Especially when it's somewhere on the secluded island. But no, despite that, I just, yeah, it's about spending relationships. So if I want to go to heaven just because I want to get, I want to stop experiencing my pain, that's not the only reason.
But Oleg, and I have to say, it's not possible for us to want to be with God as badly as He wants to be with us. Mm. And you see in this prayer, right before this, He's just about to die.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And He's fervently praying. He says over and over, if you read John chapter 17, He says over and over and over again, yes, may they be one in us, yes, may they be in us, may, yes, they be in us. He just wants it so desperately. Can they be in us? And then we have eternal life.
He descended. He died for that very reason, yes, because He, yes, wanted to connect heaven and earth,
yes, mm-hmm,
together. Mm-hmm. And that is why, okay, we will get there, but don't go anywhere because there's something greater ahead. So Jesus prayed about Himself. Mm-hmm. He says, glorify Me because I want to glorify You, mm-hmm, the Father. Mm-hmm. Then Jesus prays about His disciples, mm-hmm, but the same pattern is seen. Mm-hmm. He prays about glorification, and this is our question.
It's exactly what we're talking about. How do we glorify God? So some people have been answering that question. I'll take some comments. I'll start with Pam. Pam sent in a text. Just because I love Pam's answer. She says, we glorify God in many ways. When we visit those in jail, visit those in hospitals, mm-hmm, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and show each other love. Thank you, Pam, for that comment. I love it because Jesus said in Matthew, if you've done to the least of these, you've done also to Me. And that's what this prayer is about, connecting, mm-hmm, with Jesus. And that's a great way to do it, what Pam said.
This is very important because it ties with our following section, because John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, is about Jesus' prayer about Himself. Mm-hmm. But then John chapter 17, verses 6, all the way to verse 19, is about His disciples. Mm-hmm. So we are talking about this section. John, and pick up your Bible if you have a chance, or just your device, wherever you can find it. John chapter 17, verses 6 through 19. And let's read verse 10. And John, could you read for us verse 10?
Sure. And all, this is a tongue twister right here. Yes. And all Mine are Yours, and Yours are Mine, and I am glorified in them.
So Jesus says that He is glorified in whom?
In them.
In them. Mm-hmm. In whom?
In us.
In us. In us. In His disciples. So in His followers, Jesus is being glorified. How? Think about it. Like Jesus, the glory of Jesus is seen in whom?
In us.
Wait a second. This is just, this is incredible. Mm-hmm.
It is incredible. Yeah.
And I actually am really thrown off when I meet some people at my church, and they actually say, you know, you look like, because you can't possibly fathom this, because I can't either, but they say you look like you have a halo around. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm like, you know, your skin, it's glowing. I'm thinking, it's because I moisturize. but really, and later, and I was thinking, you know, there's got to be some heavenly being, mm-hmm, that they're seeing. Mm-hmm. And it's not me. I, mm-hmm, know it's not me. Mm-hmm. Because I know I can't radiate that kind of beauty. Mm-hmm. So it has to be Him glorifying Himself in me in some way.
Mm. For me, it's the greatest compliment that I as a Christian can receive is not, oh, you prayed really nicely, or you did so well in church, but it's, I can see God's love through you. Because, mm-hmm, I think we are the best witness, not what we do, but just us. Mm-hmm.
But this glory that Jesus is talking about is so different to the glory of this world.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So different with the glory of this world and how this world is just trying to get this glory. But let's take a look and see how we can glorify the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. How can we glorify Jesus Himself? And let me just pose, it's just a thesis. And you will say whether it's true or not, okay?
Okay.
So it's just a theorem or thesis. What if I told you that we can glorify Jesus and also God, mm-hmm, and the Holy Spirit if we all become one?
Mm. Absolutely. I would agree with that, I think, and we'll get to it later as in the rest of his prayers, he's praying for unity. But that's the entire example of Scripture, is the love that you have for one another. It's recognizing everyone as your neighbor. It's the call to fellowship and the very straightforward commandments that Jesus gives us.
And that's like, that's the real powerhouse right there, that maybe, you know, clearly not what we believe, the world may believe what glorification might be, but that there's tremendous power in unity. And we see so many examples. Probably the one that pops up is in Acts, what happened. That's just, it's incredible how if we all come together, what can result?
Okay, so if we all come together, what can result? But there are a few other things that people, when people get together, when they all become one, the results can be all very, 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 very scary and painful and crazy. And just yesterday and today, Sergio and I, we talked about the study, and this is what we always do, so we are always trying to be very well prepared. So we talked about it, and Sergio, I'm just blessed because the Bible, this is what the Bible study is about, because when I say something, Sergio would say, wow, I never knew this inside. And when Sergio told something to me, I was like, what? This is amazing. This is simply amazing. Sergio, I want you to share how there is a connection of John chapter 17 with something else that you possibly didn't even think about.
Yeah, you know, we read here throughout where Jesus prays that he wants us to be one as he and the Father are one. And so, which, you know, gets you thinking like, well, there's more than one way to be one then, right? Because he wants to be one, but in the way that he and his Father are one. And it just, my mind jumped to the story of the Tower of Babel. And particularly the text in, I'll read it now, it's Genesis 11.
So let us all get
Let's turn there to Genesis 11. That's the story of the Tower of Babel. I'm looking at verse 6. Genesis 11, 6, and it says, "And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one." And this is when he's referencing they had built this tower to their own greatness, their tower to their own glory, to glorify themselves, lift up for themselves. And he says, indeed, they're one. And so what he does in verse 7, come, let us go down. And as you said in your Hidden Treasures, God is consistently coming down. He lowers himself. And it just made me think of the way that this world really tries to make us one.
But this is so incredible, because if you think about it, this is also, they had this idea of becoming one. Just to become gods almost. We will be one and no one, even God will never be able to defend us.
Defeat us. And you know, before we go on and talking about this analogy, we can just show people real quick. We have a video, a Logos Project video for you on this very chapter, Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel. Check it out.
Now the whole earth had one language and one speech.
Al emigrar al oriente, la gente encontró una llanura en la región de Sinar, y allí se asentaron.
他们彼此商量说：“来吧，我们要做砖，把砖烧掉了。他们就拿砖当石头，又拿石器当灰泥。”
И сказали они: построим себе город и башню высотою до небес, и сделаем себе имя, прежде нежели рассеемся по лицу всей земли.
И зашел Господь, чтобы бачити місто та башту, що людські сини будували.
Et l'Éternel dit, voici, ils forment un seul peuple et ont tous une même langue. Et c'est là ce qu'ils ont entrepris. Maintenant, rien ne les empêcherait de faire tout ce qu'ils auraient projeté.
Vamos descer e atrapalhar a língua que eles falam, a fim de que não entendam o que o outro está dizendo.
So its name became Babel, because it was there that the Lord confused the language of all the earth. So they ceased building the city, and from there the Lord scattered them over the face of all the earth.
And we just want to remind you, if you want to check out that video or any other Logos Project video, you can go to youtube.com/TheLogosProject. But guys, now that we've seen that, I guess the next question is, how is the oneness that the world presents kind of displayed in this story of the Tower of Babel? And how does it contrast with the oneness God wants for us?
the oneness of the world, I think, is, as we've been saying several times, it's like the coming together to lift ourselves up. Mm-hmm. And the oneness that God wants is us to come together to glorify him, just like Jesus prayed. Like, that's where they're going to see God is in the unity that we share with each other. It's the humble oneness.
Not
the me oneness.
This is great. This is great. And one of the verses that that just jumps out from the Gospel according to John, John chapter 12, verse 32. Let's get there for a few moments. John chapter 12, verse 32. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Can
Janine,
I go ahead?
What does it say?
And if I, this is Jesus speaking, mm-hmm. and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So it's just amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is so different from the Tower of Babel now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because when that is the right cause.
Exactly.
Coming together.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
And not to build a tower.
Right, and in the Tower of Babel, you see mankind getting together to mm-hmm. work their own greatness, which of course is ultimately going to be nothing. God comes down, scatters them. Mm-hmm. And now we have here with this prayer, God asks for us to be one in the way that he's one. He comes down, but not to scatter us, to unite us. Mm-hmm. And when he builds his own edifice of what glory really is, and it's not a Tower of Babel, it's the cross. Mm-hmm. The cross is what he lifts up exactly. and shows us what true greatness, what true oneness really is.
The beacon.
Yeah.
This is so beautiful. And let's just remind us quickly what we just talked about. We talked about Jesus praying about himself and saying, Father, glorify me and I will glorify you. Then he prayed about his disciples when he says, I want them to be one mm-hmm. because this is how they will be able to glorify me and mm-hmm. you, the Father. Mm-hmm. And then after the break, we will see how the world tries to overcome those who want to be the followers of Jesus. And then we will continue talking about all believers all over the globe. And how Jesus wants us to be in union.
That's right, Oleg, and we're having fun today, but it'd be even better if you joined in. So join us and discuss today's question, how do we glorify God?
Welcome back. The study of the Word of God sets our hearts on fire. And if you feel the same, don't keep it to yourself. This is the perfect time for you to write to us. Okay, so we talked about this progression or the structure of Jesus' prayer. And then in the same prayer about his disciples, mm-hmm. Jesus says a very profound, there is a very profound statement that Jesus makes. He says in verse 15, and let's read verse 15. And Luis, could you read for us verse 15? John chapter 17, verse 15. Mm-hmm.
I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one.
Mm. Okay. What does this verse tell you?
You know, this verse right here blows my mind.
Really?
Because
why?
God is saying, I mean, Jesus is saying, you know, I'm not even going to take them out. Mm-hmm. Don't take them out. Not only am I not going to take them out, but leave them there. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't even take evil out. He leaves evil in there. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's talking about glory. Maybe his ultimate purpose is to show the world his glory. Mm-hmm. While
the universe. So it's just the universe, the entire world, universe. It's like this glory. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. This is great.
That's something that I'd never thought of. I'd always looked at it and, you know, kind of on the same line. But throughout scripture, we're taught that, you know, God will keep you from burdens and temptations that you can't handle. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he's not saying completely set yourselves apart, seclude yourselves so that you have no interaction with non-believers, but just, Father, give them unity and just protect them. Mm-hmm. And I think the unity is protection also.
Yeah, I think definitely what John said is really speaking to me, because it's highlighting the fact that Jesus wants and expects his disciples to be in the thick of it. You know, not like, hey guys, go hide on a hill somewhere. No, you need to be in the thick of it, because that is where you will share my glory with the whole world.
And that's where the glory needs to be.
Exactly.
This is exactly what Jesus did. In fact, let me just point something to you. In Israel, at the time of Jesus, people believed that Jerusalem was the most secular city. Mm-hmm. You probably would be surprised. Wait a second. Secular city? Jerusalem is the secular
city. That's the holy city, right?
What about the temple behind Sergio right there?
Yeah, what about
it's a holy city. It's supposed to be a holy city. No.
Jerusalem was a secular city because there was a group such as the group was called Essenes. They would never even enter Jerusalem because they thought that it was corrupted. There was a gymnasium. There was something else. There was always Hellenized, which is they spoke Greek, etc. They would even not circumcise, but decircumcise themselves, etc., etc. So it was terrible. But Jesus says, no, no, no. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I will be in Jerusalem. He mingled with people.
And, you know, I'm going to take a viewer comment from Nancy. She sent in a text where she says this exact thing that we're talking about now. Nancy is totally agreeing with us. She says, we glorify God with our actions. He wishes for us to reach out to all, no exceptions. It's exactly what we're talking about. That sometimes we think, well, these people are this way. They must not want, they're not ready for the message, and that's my excuse for not reaching out to them. But we need to reach out, as Nancy says, to all, no exceptions.
This is so excellent because we talked about Jesus' prayer, that Jesus prays about unity. I am in you, you are in me. And then he even says, I want to be in the believers and because I want the believers to be in me as well. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. And whoever
testing
finds it
my
first.
Memory.
Yeah. First right, John chapter 4, verse 4. Yes, Sergio.
You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
Whoa.
Amen.
This is great. So this is the solution.
Yep.
If somebody who is in, if Jesus, God, is in you, you have overcome the world. Because the one who is in you is even greater than the entire world.
Well, like, haven't we discussed that in a previous study? He says, fear not. I have overcome the world.
Yes.
You know, you don't need to fear when you're in the world. Jesus has overcome it. Now just proclaim his goodness to everyone that you encounter. And that's why, pray for yourself first so that his goodness and his glory can be in you.
It's not a one-time prayer. It's that constant pleading with God, be in me, Father.
Definitely.
Yeah. Excellent. This is great. Okay, I can see that our study is developing and developing, and I hope you will join us after the break. No. We are not going into the break, but for the entire week, we are actually discussing the same thing on our social media as well, so join us. So we see that there is a progression of Jesus being, he talks about glory, then he talks about this unity and union that is that is the glorification of God and Jesus Christ and his believers. Then he also talks about the evil one, which is the world and all this evil system of the world, I would even say. Evil system of the world. And then let's go to another prayer, another segment of the prayer. So we talked about Jesus prays himself, about himself, disciples, and now all believers. Let's read verse 20. And John, could you read for us verse 20? John 17, verse 20.
I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through through their word.
Amen.
Okay, through whose word?
The disciples.
The disciples. And what is, did you find anything interesting about this text when Jesus prayed?
Well, my favorite part, Jesus prays for all believers, is Jesus prayed for me. So however many thousands of years ago before I was, he was praying for me, he was praying for Luis, he was praying for John, he was praying individually. It gives me goosebumps.
This is excellent. And did you notice the future tense of this sentence?
It's like, yeah, exactly.
I do not pray for these alone, those who already believe.
Who will.
But even for those
who will believe.
Just
who
like
will.
Jillian said.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Who will believe. But that means that even for those who will believe, not today, but tomorrow, when you're watching this program, maybe you will believe now. Jesus is praying for you. Jesus
Amen.
Is praying for you. This is incredible.
It reminds me also of the constancy of God. Like, he was there with them, but his presence and his glory and his amazing godness has not diminished at all over the years. It still lasts.
His presence still lasts.
Yeah, this is
so beautiful. This is great. Okay, let's talk about the holiness and perfection that Jesus is talking about. Because in verse 23... Jesus says something incredible. And Luis, could you read for us verse 23?
I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me.
Okay. Remember that chapter in the Gospel according to Matthew, may you there be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect.
Yes.
Wow, this is the answer to that very question that we talked about in the Gospel according to Matthew. Because here Jesus clearly says that, what did he say? that they may be made
perfect.
In one.
Mm. Mm.
So now I know what perfection is about.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
What is that perfection about?
It's being one.
It's being one.
I guess I'm maybe it's a question or a comment. I'm not really sure. But this just struck me. Made perfect in one reminds me of the text where how the church is a body and each person has their own different role. Mm-hmm. So if I'm the ear and you're the eye, we need the other pieces where together we can reflect that oneness. I'd never thought of that before. But on your own, you're not
perfect.
What God has intended. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think when we're seeing now that we reach perfection as his children, when we are one with each other, then we start to think, well, what are some of the obstacles in our lives that kind of prevent that unity? What roadblocks do we have? Why aren't we one now as a church, as believers? Why aren't we one? I don't, you know, I'm going to throw that to the group here.
I don't know. Another hour for us to discuss that.
I think it's the mindset that what worldly success is. You know, you think about it. The disciples were, remember when the disciples were saying, hey, can I sit in your right hand? They're automatically thinking, how can I be glorified? How can I be glorified? Yep. And Jesus gives the definition, in order to be glorified and perfection, serve others and be as one. Mm-hmm. You know, so he's giving them the perfect example.
And I was part of this group where we were all like, quote unquote, missionaries. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we can say that. And there were seven of us. Mm-hmm. And we all have various different skills, but we all just wanted to reach people. We just wanted to be able to share God's message. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until like a whole year later we realized, wait a second, we all have amazing gifts. You know, Jillian, you were talking about the various different parts of the body. Mm-hmm. And we had to learn how to work through it together rather than, oh, you know, she speaks better than I do. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, oh, no, he memorizes better than I do. Mm-hmm. That type of thing. But to put that aside and to see what are our gifts and how can we work together, especially, you know, even within the church.
But I think the temptation when we're talking about the obstacles, I think the temptation amongst people is to value certain gifts over the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we value the upfront gifts, the in-your-face gifts, not the behind the scenes, the people on the cameras, the people that are, you know, riding in. And I think...
Because we can't do it without everybody working together.
No, we can't. And when I think of obstacles, I think of jealousy. Like it's such a, like the conflict that I want to be better.
It's very true. And I think we sometimes value... Jesus wants us to value oneness, and sometimes we value the things that make us different just because they make us different.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I believe this thing and you don't, therefore that makes me better than you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just because it's different, just because I have it and you don't. Mm-hmm. We always want this thing that makes me better than you, whether it's a doctrinal belief or a practice or something. So I'm just going to take a few viewer comments real quick that highlight this whole way that we can be one with each other. I'll take a comment from Casey where she talks about this on Facebook. Casey says, there are many ways, but I think one of the best ways is sharing testimonies of answered prayers in our lives. So many people get saved just by seeing the goodness of God demonstrated in the lives of others. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Casey, for that comment. I'll take one more comment from Kathy, who says, by loving him with all our hearts and by loving our neighbors, our enemies, helping the poor and needy, and keeping his Sabbath holy, just keeping the commandments, loving each other, reaching out to people, that's how we start to achieve unity, if we're all striving for that.
Unity that results in the glorification of Jesus and God himself. And this is fascinating because right after the break, we will discover something amazing. And because the Gospel according to John, when Jesus talked about, in the Gospel according to John, about this unity, he also had something else to let all of us know. So don't go anywhere.
That's right. And Jesus wanted you and I to be one, just as he and the Father are one. So let's get connected together right now and discuss today's question, how do we glorify God?
Welcome back. Thank you for being a part of our discussion of John chapter 17. And we just talked about these obstacles that come between us and others, this unity cannot be achieved when we have those we talked about before the break. And if you missed it, you can always join us on our website. You can always catch up one of our episodes. So there is something amazing. Look what Jesus did. He prayed about himself. He prayed about his disciples. But then he prayed in front of his disciples. He prayed about those who did not believe yet. Who were the first ones who believed all over the Roman Empire? The disciples. Who were they? They were people of different races. different ethnicities, different classes, mm-hmm. different religious backgrounds, mm-hmm. different haircuts, different everything was yeah. very different.
Mm-hmm. Drawing all men.
What Jesus is doing, he says, you know what? I want you just to come to Gentiles mm-hmm. and be one with the Gentiles, the ones that you called swines all the time. Mm-hmm. Literally, because this is what they would do. The ones that you call dogs all the time, not in a good sense. Mm-hmm. So I want you to enjoy this unity with the women, because their gender will not matter from now mm-hmm. on. Mm-hmm. What does it tell you about this incredible revolutionary idea that Jesus is praying about?
Well, you know, Oleg, you mentioned that we talk a lot before our shows to prep, and you said something that really stuck with me, that said that the unity that Jesus is talking about can even be seen as an ethnic unity, that there's nothing that divides us now. We are one people now in Jesus Christ, in God, and that's something that really spoke to me. There's nothing that separates us now. No ethnicity, no gender, nothing keeps us apart now.
There is no Tower of Babel anymore, no languages, one. We are one when Jesus is lifted up. This is the unity. Mm. And this is fascinating, because when the cross happened, the Tower of Babel, we are united, but then there will be the resurrection, and that is the Garden of Eden restored. And this is the perfect time for you and us just to immerse ourselves into those questions into the main question of our study.
And, you know, people have been, and I'll jump in with a comment just because you mentioned the cross, and I think there's an element, too, of when we come to the cross, we have to die too. Mm-hmm. You know, this element of like death to self. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I'll take a comment from Debbie who gives a comment along those lines. It says, by living a life of self-denial, daily dying to self so that his righteousness will be fulfilled in us. I think that it's a huge part of that oneness, why the cross is significant for us, something that needs to happen to us too. If we die, then the glory of God can fill us.
Mm-hmm. I like what she said about having it be daily.
Yes.
Because every day you wake up and you're back to that rat race. And it's every day it's a struggle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Praise God. Excellent. Excellent. So we have a few minutes left, and this is the perfect time for also your comments. Do it now as soon as you can. Use your cell phone. Yes, exactly. Just hit the button, send. So what is your takeaway lesson today? And just be, tell
just
us.
One?
No, takeaway lessons. Okay. What are your takeaway lessons?
Lessons. I'll start with one.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, no matter what happens, you know, I'm where I am for a reason. And it's always an opportunity. It may not be where I'm giving a sermon or I get a chance to, you know, be on the show, but it's a matter of in my workplace, how am I glorifying God? Mm-hmm. You know, in the little things, being faithful so that in the greater things that that God can prepare me. To humble me for that. And so, and I know that I'm being taken care of, so maybe that's more than one thing, but definitely know that he is praying for me, even for my future. I'm taking care of
him. Excellent.
Ditto.
Yeah.
One of the things, but I think it's a lot of the times it's like, oh, I'm so glorified and I have this gift and that gift, but to me it comes back to the first verse. It's glorify your son that your son may also glorify you, not for himself. He wasn't like, I want it for me. It's so that I can glorify you. And that's something that I really resonate with.
So it's about the glorification of
It doesn't stop with us.
This is great. This is excellent.
That's very cool. And I got to jump in with a text message we received from Jasmine that is awesome, because you don't have to glorify through perfection. Jasmine says, we can even glorify God through our mistakes by how we learn from them and grow closer to him through our repentance. Thanks, Jasmine, for that comment. I think
that's
so
awesome.
Cool. Even your mistakes, you can glorify God as long as they bring you back to him.
I think mistakes glorify God even more, because it's just like, I'm human, you're human, we're all human, but it's what you do with it. It's how you glorify God through that circumstance.
And I think then your mistakes kind of, you help to realize that you don't need to puff yourself up so much.
It
keeps you from that. It keeps you lower sometimes, your mistakes. So that's another way too. Yeah.
It's the way of glorification. And this is fascinating, because what that glorification is about, let's jump to John chapter 15, verse 13. This is exactly what, Jillian, could you read for us?
This is Jesus still speaking. Yes. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends.
This is it. So he didn't say, I will show you the greatest love of all.
Right.
Because this is what I'm going to do. He said, no. And even you, you will lay down your life for your neighbor, for your church. For your church, the person who sits next to you in your church, whoever, for John, am I ready to sacrifice my life for John? Mm. Mm. Mm.
But Oleg, I think that's the core of Christianity, because I think there are a lot of belief systems that preach love, that teach love, even, you know, humanism, love for the sake of a healthy society, love for the sake of, you know, human progress and getting along and all of this. But Christian love goes beyond that. Mm-hmm. It goes love beyond the self-interest, mm-hmm. love to the point even of death, love for love's sake, mm-hmm. not for any other ulterior motive, love just for the sake of love. And you can only do that when you have the love of God in your heart, because it's totally unnatural. It's totally unhuman mm-hmm. to love that way.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the point that I take away is that I'm able to do that because God first loves me.
Amen. Mm-hmm. We love because He first loved us.
Constantly, if this is the high priestly prayer, God is constantly saying, Jesus is constantly saying, He's constantly praying that, like for verse 24, for instance, Father, I desire.
Yes.
Straight up, I desire. You know, He's pleading with God, I desire them to be with me. And you know, when you look at yourself, you look at Jesus, you always wonder, how can I ever be saved? Mm. Mm-hmm. But also at the same time, when you're looking at Him, you're also thinking, how can I not be saved?
Yeah, that's right. That's
you know,
right.
And He's constantly pleading, you know, let us be one. Let us be together.
Right. Not especially only the Trinity, in this prayer, right.
But all of us.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is great. Not like, as you said, Trinity, like the point that you said, Trinity, and the Trinity is surrounded. So mm-hmm. Trinity is present mm-hmm. everywhere. And we are enjoying this unity. Mm-hmm. This Trinity is so united mm-hmm. between each other. And they want us to become one with them. Mm-hmm. Mm. Look how the entire sermon of Jesus ends in John chapter 17. The very last part of verse 26. In verse 26, it says, and I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I also can be in them. Mm.
That's awesome. And I think in this prayer, we've said it over and over again, we see that how desperately God wants us to be in Him and Him in us. And I think we're seeing from our cross-connection viewers how so many of them want desperately for God to be in every aspect of their lives. So I'm just going to rifle off a few comments here. Cheryl says on Facebook, again, talking about desperately wanting God to be in you, I believe that we glorify God by living a life that reflects the Lord's presence in every area of our lives. Mm-hmm. Lisa says a similar thing. She says, when we make a sacrifice of thanks, He is honored. When we receive Jesus, He lives in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. She quotes John 17:22. Mm-hmm. Jesus speaking to the Father, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just briefly and quickly, what is your takeaway lesson? Just in one sentence, in addition to additional lessons that you already said.
The key, I guess, for me, it would be that Jesus is asking us all to be one, and the key to the unity is the love that we have for each other, but also the love that we have for God, because He's the one that empowers us.
Mm. Excellent.
I'm just reminded, I want to communicate the way Jesus communicates with God, mm-hmm. you know, with His structure, and to really mm-hmm. think out how I should communicate with the creator of the universe. Mm. So excellent. I'm reminded of that.
Excellent, excellent. And John?
For me, to know how far God would go for me and how far I should go for others.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Mm. Praise God. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Luis. And thank you, Jillian. And thank you for joining us today. God desperately wants His children to be one. And we achieve this oneness only by being like Him. Jesus tore down the walls of separation that He encountered. Race, religion, gender, class, and tradition. And if we are to experience true unity, we must do the same and be united in the selfless love of Jesus Christ. Then Jesus' prayer will be answered. Until next week, stay connected with Jesus Christ in your everyday life and also on Cross Connection.